Thanks, Vivian. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Ray and Alison are with us after 4 o'clock and they're our relationship counsellors. They give out advice, very sound advice, free of charge, FOC. And if you're going through something at the moment and you want somebody, just somebody else, somebody who's not emotionally attached to your situation to give you advice, well, now's your opportunity. ray@rte.ie, and they always give sound advice and they will be on after 4 o'clock with us. So ray@rte.ie for any of your relationship woes. And while we're telling you about things that are on the show and coming up, just a reminder about our 5K runs. We're taking to the road again on the 26th of June and we're touring the country. Well, the top half of the country anyway. So we're starting on the 26th in Donegal, then down to Sligo, across to Westmeath, over to Wicklow and up to Dublin. Up to Dublin. And we want you, we're inviting you to come out and run with us. That's what they're called, Run with Ray. It's a 5K run and it's a lovely community event. We've been doing them for years. You get the T-shirt and you come out and you can come with a group of friends, you can come on your own, you can be an experienced runner, you can be a fast walker, you can be somebody who wants to get into the whole thing for the first time, and this could be your target, this could be your motivation. We're just finalising the exact locations and we'll have them before the weekend and we'll tell you about those. But put that in your diary if you're in any of those localities and you want to join us for a run. It's June 26th through to the end of that week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Donegal, Sligo, Westmeath, Wicklow and Dublin. And I'm really looking forward to those. AI again. We mentioned yesterday about Senator Richard Blumenthal and he was interviewing the CEO of OpenAI yesterday. And as a sort of a stunt, Sam Altman is the name of the man, CEO, he's the head of OpenAI. As a sort of a stunt, he got a cloning software device type thing to clone his voice, and he made his opening remarks. Well, he didn't make them, AI made them. So this is him as talking about the thing, just so you'll hear his voice first.
If you were listening from home, you might have thought that voice was mine and the words from me, but in fact that voice was not mine, the words were not mine, and the audio was
generated by a computer. That was the voice of Senator Richard Blumenthal, and this is him, his voice, been cloned by AI.
Too often, we have seen what happens when technology outpaces regulation. The unbridled exploitation of personal data, the proliferation of disinformation, and the deepening of societal inequalities.
It's very good, isn't it? It's very good. And I suppose you have to qualify it every time you talk about AI, and it's not all doom and gloom. And of course, AI is responsible for a lot of good in the world, diagnostics and all that sort of thing. But there is this creeping fear in my head anyway, that the current crop of AI is going to be used by bad people to do bad things. But there you go. I suppose a debatable one is facial recognition. That's AI. And I see that the police in Cardiff city centre are going to be using facial recognition technology to scan crowds before Beyonce's gig there in the coming days and weeks. The pop sensation will perform at the capital's Principality Stadium as part of her Renaissance World Tour. And that's her first in 7 years. And South Wales police confirmed on Tuesday they will be using live facial recognition technology to support the policing of the concert. They said facial recognition is not a condition of entry and it will not be in use at the stadium. But they're going to be monitoring the crowds live with facial recognition. So they'll be going, oh, that's your man. That's Paddy Murphy there. And if Paddy Murphy, whatever, they'll know about him. It comes after it hailed the technology as a force for good last month. The practice has previously faced opposition from campaigners who say victims and potential witnesses could be placed on police watch lists. Now, this is maybe a sort of naive view of the world, but if you're not up to anything, does it matter that there's somebody monitoring your face when you're going to a concert? You know, and if they can weed out the baddies by doing that, is that not a force for good, as they say? I don't know. Pictures in all the papers today of the people arriving for the Cannes Film Festival, out in all their finery. There's a particularly striking photograph of Dame Helen Mirren. She is sporting a blue dress and blue hair. She made quite the entrance yesterday. And it's not unusual for her to have the hair coloured. In 2019, she arrived on the red carpet with pink hair. And blue, they tell us, is in vogue at the moment with the release of Disney's new The Little Mermaid film. Not unlike Martha Stewart, who's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Helen at the age of 77 spoke of her best beauty advice. She said, "I don't think there should be any rules, and luckily there are less and less," she told British Vogue in an interview. "Accepting who you are, finding confidence in it and not resisting it is the best beauty advice. You know, the minute you have confidence and you're not trying to be something that you're not, everything about you relaxes. You're happy." Wise words. And I suppose what you're shouting at the radio is easier said than done. And after all, she's Dame Helen Mirren. But yeah, but she's still a human being and she has all the trials and tribulations of any human being. So that's that. Blue hair, blue dress. That sounds like the name of a song, doesn't it? Blue hair, blue dress. Well, we're on the songs and the singing. A woman attending Taylor Swift's Eras tour brought a packet of lyrics, complete with a reading light, to sing along during the show at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. So there she is. She has a reading light and she has them on a clipboard. Very organised, very organised. Like, I would just sing along if I knew the words and then keep my mouth shut if I didn't and maybe hum along. But this lady brought all the lyrics along on a clipboard with a reading light and proceeded to enjoy the concert. Taylor Swift concert. 51551 ray@rte.ie. They're still talking about the Eurovision up in the office. What will we do? What can we do to get back in to winning ways when it comes to the Eurovision Song Contest? Well, Niall Horan has taken over Spotify in a once-off to give his recommendation of Irish artists. It's a playlist that's been going for a long time called Fresh Era. But the current one, 80 songs, has been curated, I think that's the word, picked by Niall Horan, which is big news for the people who've been picked. I'm just looking at some of the people. Keen Ducrow, we've had him on the show. C-Matt, we've had C-Matt on the show as well. The lads are in there as well. The Academic, yeah, we've had them on the show. Anyways, there's 80 songs there. And I was listening to them today, all very talented people. And I was asking the question, if we have all that talent in the country, why can't we channel some of it into the Eurovision Song Contest and get back to winning ways? I just feel that we're not, I suppose, widening the net wide enough, that we're not enticing people to get involved. And of course, competition is great because it improves everything. So if there's loads of competition for a place to represent Ireland in the Eurovision Song Contest, then it's going to push up the standard. And maybe one of these years we'll qualify for the final again, like the old days. It'll be like a folk tale, won't it? Oh, I remember back in my day when we used to not only qualify for the final, young man, but we used to win the Eurovision Song Contest. Ah, Grandad, you're talking a load of BS there. We never won the Eurovision Song Contest. Oh, we did back in the day, back in the day. Now we're heading up a hill very shortly, so I thought this would be apt. 51551 ray@rte.ie. K-Push. Classic, running up that hill, Kate Bush. And we're heading to Howth very shortly. But first, we're looking for two people to take part in our whodunit quiz. Yeah, two of you, three whodunit questions. And like all whodunits, there will be clues. If you go for a clue and you get it right, you get one. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get two, because it's more difficult. And there's a prize. And this week, it's two nights B&B for two adults and two children in a lodge at Foda Island Resort, nestled at the heart of a peaceful island, surrounded by gorgeous scenery and just 8 miles from Cork City. Pack your bags and escape to your own private island this summer with Foda Island Resort. Enjoy complete privacy and five-star luxury in one of the exclusive 2, 3 or 4 bedroom self-catering lodges. Perfect for families, groups of friends or fellow golfers. Today we're giving one lucky listener the chance to win a two-night stay, as I say, with two adults, or for two adults and two children. FodaIsland.ie. Here is your qualifying question. The annual film festival held in France kicked off yesterday, but is it the Cannes Film Festival, or the Cannes Film Festival? So is it the Cannes Film Festival or the Cannes Film Festival? 0818 715 925, 0818 715 925. Hello, Sinead Niulacon.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Guma.
An a fathar fad.
Ka wiltu.
Táim I mean éadar I mlá clia. Will cura mach a gott ar vín éadar?
Hoth.
Éadar's Peak, Hoth, yes.
Yes.
I'm on my way to Hoth Head today, and what a beautiful day for it. The sky is blue. I can only see a few clouds in the sky. I have the SPF on and it's needed. It's beautiful out here. I feel like I'm on my holidays.
Yeah. It's lovely out in Hoth. It's really beautiful out there. Of course, the late Gay Byrne, that was his home place for a long time. Mm-hmm. But you're not in search of famous people. You're in search of...
Well, they're famous enough. They're animals, though. I'm off to meet a few goats. I'm off to meet a few nannies and billies and kiddies, and especially kiddies, because 37 kids were born to nannies up here on Hoth Head at the beginning of April. They graze the land here on Hoth Head. They graze it because it's this new initiative. Well, it started a few years ago. Goats are on the land here to prevent wildfires, and they've been doing stellar work for the past few years, and they're adding to the herd. So 37 new kids were born there not so long ago, and I get the opportunity to meet them in the next half hour or so. So I'm quite excited, I must say.
Now, you have a history with goats, Sinead.
I do. Recently, I was up in Downpatrick in a farm, Castle Screen Farm, where they do goat yoga.
Right.
So essentially, it's yoga. And as you're doing yoga, I know yoga is supposed to be relaxing. And, you know, you get to know yourself a little bit better. You're concentrating on your breathing. But while you're doing all that, goats jump on your back. And I don't know if I'd describe it as relaxing, but it was certainly an experience anyway. And I would recommend it for people who would like to try goat yoga.
No thanks. But so we were there. We've met the goat herder before, and I'm looking forward to talking to her again. I'm also looking forward to playing a bit of, bit of this.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd. Lay, hoddle-lay, hoddle-lay. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd. Lay, hoddle-lay, hoddle-lo. Folks in a town that was quite remote herd. Lay, hoddle-lay.
From the Sound of Music, do you know the history of yodeling?
I'm not entirely sure what the history is. It has something to do with Austria, I believe, and the Alps.
Yes.
And the Sound of Music, of course, you mentioned it there, and it was featured heavily in that. The song The Lonely Goat Herd was on the soundtrack. Mm. So I have little bits of information, but you might be able to sew them all together for me.
Well, according to my research, it originated in the Alps, but not in Austria, in Switzerland. And it was used by people in the mountains to communicate across large valleys. So the sound would travel. And if they were, I'd imagine if they were trying to herd up some goats or some sheep or some cows or whatever, they'd yodel across the valley. And the person at the other side would know that it's time to bring the cows, the goats or the sheep in. And then it became part of their culture. And then before you knew it, you had men in lederhosen yodeling in bars. And that's how it all happened. There you go. Brief history of yodeling. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So. Wow. Well done. And you really need to have a good voice for it, because there are repeated changes in pitch. You're going from being very high up to quite low down. Mm. So it's something that you do need to practice if you're into yodeling.
Yeah, there's a number of very good yodeling albums, if you're interested. I think there's a yodeling playlist on Spotify.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. For your listening pleasure on the way back from Hoth. Now, you were on the way there and you met people, and because they're looking for... How many goats do they want to name?
So they want to name 5 goats. They've named, so as I was saying to you, there are 37 kids, and they've named quite a few of them, but they're still looking for names for 5 of them. Well, I give you an example of some of the names that they have to date.
Please do.
So Anu, Killian, Aoife, Fola, Bonba, Eru, they're all good Irish strong names. Saoirse, Emmet, Senan, Ulton. No Ray and no Sinead so far, but they're still looking for suggestions, and you have until 5 p.m. this evening to send your suggestions in. So if anyone wants to suggest Sinead or Ray, you still have a few hours.
Okay, and it's Fingal County Council, is it?
That's correct. It's on the website. So Fingal County Council and the Old Irish Goat Society launched this public competition, and they have 5 goats to name. So get your entries in.
So you had your microphone and you were going to use it.
I certainly was. I was out and about in Howth earlier today, and I met Kelly from Donnymead and I met Alexandra from Wicklow Town first.
Madonna.
Why?
Because I really like her music and I think it'd be kind of cool. And Billy, if we have another one.
Is that a bit unoriginal?
I don't think it's original.
I think it's very basic.
I would name it Goose.
Goose? Calling a goat a goose?
Yes. Just because, I don't know, it's a nice name.
It's just not a goose.
Where are they going calling a goat a goose? That's Kelly and Alexandra.
Maybe they're thinking of Top Gun.
Oh, yes, maybe. And then there was silence, and then you
and
asked
I asked
them.
Kelly and Alexandra. I asked them if they could yodel.
Yodel, yodel. Yodel, yodel, yodel.
Brilliant. Who'd you meet next?
Tony. And Tony was thinking of his favourite musical acts when he was thinking of names.
I'd name one of them Ringo, after Ringo Starr.
Are you a big Beatles fan?
I would be a big Beatles fan, yes, yeah, ever since the early days. They were my group at the time. John Paul, George and Ringo. You couldn't get those wrong.
There you go, four names. Four names in one from Tony. Thanks, Tony.
I met Donal as well. Donal recently became a grandfather.
Since we're recent grandparents, I would name one of them Thea after our new granddaughter. It means deer, and our little granddaughter has got the spirit of the deer.
The goat wouldn't be confused.
I hope not. As long as the goat keeps smiling like little Thea does, she'll be great.
Proud grandfather is Donal.
And he warmed up after a while when I asked him to yodel.
No, I cannot. I wouldn't even like to try. Oh, why? Because the goat heard us.
Yeah.
Yodel, hee-hoo.
Come on, Donal. Come on, Donal. And then you met Irene.
I would say Gráinne, because of Gráinne Whale. There's a lovely cairn up in Howth, and it's Aideen's grave. I did a project on it when I was at school, but I've forgotten a lot of it now. So I'd name one Aideen. Now, I can't think of any male names, because the other one I would think of is Maeve, Queen Maeve.
Yeah. And Grace O'Malley is connected with Howth. I don't know if you know this, but she was on a visit to Queen Elizabeth. On the way back, she stopped in Howth, and she went to visit Lord Howth in his castle. The door was shut. And she thought, that's not very mannerly, is it? A breach, she felt, of the ancient Irish traditions of hospitality. So later on, when the Lord came down to have a look at her boat, she abducted him and brought him back to Clew Bay. And this is how the story goes. Yeah, she said she would only return him if he promised that the gates of the castle be never closed at the dinner hour and a place laid at the table for the unexpected guest. And to this day, Sinead Ní Uachtaráin, there's an extra place laid out in Howth Castle. So there you go.
I tell you, every day is a school day on the Ray D'Arcy Show.
So it was Wendy and her dog Bailey next. Here we go.
I would think about naming them around some of the localities. So if they call them the Bailey and there's, you know, Grace and Grace O'Malley, and there could be different names for different areas. And there's quite a few interesting street names. And I think you could take part the street name and name the goats. One could be called East, do you know, and one could be called West and Thurmambi. And there's some interesting history around Howth. So I think actually keep it Howth based, do you know, and they are really cute on the hill. They're lovely to come across on a walk.
Kind of similar to Kim Kardashian's child. She has a northwest.
That's right.
There you go. And finally, you met Sam and Sean, was it?
That's it. They were full of beans.
I'd say Messi. Messi, because obviously he's the best player in the world. I think that's my opinion. I've seen them before. There's loads of them, and I think Messi would be a good name.
No, I'd have to go for Ronaldo. There's clearly more than one goat on the island, so I think it's only fair we get a clue about him.
Yeah, that's fair, but Messi still takes the win.
What does GOAT stand for?
Greatest of all time.
Oh.
Yeah, so clearly Messi is the greatest of all time. That's it. Yeah.
You see, all the young people are listening to GOAT and they're going, greatest of all time. They don't think about a little animal that goes, meh. They think of greatest of all time, yeah.
I thought it was an insult first.
No, it's the highest compliment to pay. You could be paid, GOAT. You're a GOAT. Okay, and were they into yodeling?
Oh, they were pretty good at it as well. Well, one
not
of them.
No chance. No, I don't even know. I don't even know.
Yeah. Yodeling.
Is that what goats do?
Yeah.
Do they? Yodeling. I thought they barked, so I would not. I don't know what goats do. I don't have it in my garden, so.
Goats bark. No, they don't bark, lads. That's what they do.
I'll find out soon enough.
Okay, we'll talk to you very shortly. Keep on heading up Hoth Hill. Thanks, hey. Sinead.
Slán, Grimila, slán, thanks, slán.
Bye, bye. We're going to be talking to writer Monica Heisey in a moment, but first, a commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Our next guest is no stranger to such expressions as "Ooh, David," and "Best wishes, warmest regards." As author and screenwriter on the hugely successful comedy drama Schitt's Creek, Monica Heisey joins me now ahead of the International Literature Festival taking place in Dublin this weekend. Monica, good afternoon. And of course, you're an author, as in you write books, and you're a comedy writer, as in you're in the writer's room of Schitt's Creek. Good afternoon, Monica.
Hi there.
Yeah, great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, congratulations on the book, which is called...
Really Good, actually. Thank you.
There's no thank you. It's just called Really Good, comma, actually. And is that how Maggie describes herself? Really Good, actually?
Yeah, I think the title... So the novel is about a woman going through a divorce at a very unexpectedly young age. And I think the title is about the difference between how we say we're doing and how we're actually doing.
Yes. Do you know when people say, how are you? You can't give them the truth, can you?
Maybe that's a cultural difference.
No, they don't want it either.
No, that's true. People are sort of expecting you to say, oh, fine, and you, and then you carry on regardless of how devastated inside both of you are that day.
Yeah. So Maggie is not you, but based on you.
Her experiences or her emotions are based on my emotions. I went through a divorce at a young age myself, and I knew I didn't want to write a memoir, so I had to create a kind of fictional container for some of the feelings that I felt.
Uh-huh. And comedy allows you to go off and maybe behave the way you might have thought. Is that right?
Yeah, I think I relate to a lot of Maggie's impulses from that period in my own life, but I think that the difference between writing a fictional comedy character and, you know, living life with actual consequences in it is that Maggie kind of acts on all of those impulses, which was very cathartic to write.
Yeah, fun, isn't it? You know, listen, what would it be like if I did that when I thought about it? What would it be like if I did that? Now, you were together with your eventual husband, now ex-husband, for how long?
We were together almost a decade, so most of my 20s. Yeah,
your formative years.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you've probably given this an awful lot of thought, even before writing the book. What should you have been doing, or would you have been doing, if you weren't with him in your 20s?
I mean, it's almost an impossible question to answer. And I think one of the things that's so destabilizing about a long-term breakup is that suddenly you almost feel like you have to re-choose your life's trajectory. It can be easy to sort of default into your shared life with your partner and not ask too many questions about what you yourself want as an individual. And then suddenly you're not part of that partnership anymore. And you're the only person whose wants, thoughts, opinions needs to be taken into consideration. And you have to kind of get back in touch with yourself a little bit.
And your friends are on a probably different trajectory.
Can be. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would imagine late 20s, average age in our country when people get married is in early 30s.
Yes.
Now, so I'd imagine it's similar in Canada.
Yes, it was a fantastic timing on my part to be getting divorced right when everyone I knew was getting engaged.
So that's isolating.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal. Yeah.
So you like most people probably maybe would go, if they could afford it and if they were inclined, to go to counselling or therapy. But you did a double pronged attack. You did that and you wrote a book as well.
Yes. I did the therapy first. I think I didn't want writing the book to be, it was in some ways therapeutic, but I didn't want to be using it as therapy. I wanted to kind of use therapy as therapy, process my experiences, figure out what I had done wrong, what I had done right, and what I would do differently, and then use that information to write a funny book.
Had the world changed? Because people are describing this as a Bridget Jones in the social media age. you know, when you were in that long-term relationship, like, technology came on exponentially, didn't it?
Yeah, I was particularly interested in the reality for such a small group of people. But in my generation, if you found a relationship in high school or even early university, there wasn't dating apps. They didn't exist. And so you found yourself single again for the first time, trying to figure that out. And on top of that, the way that we meet and date and become involved with people had changed completely. And you were sort of several years behind figuring out how all of those things worked.
How was that for you?
You know what? It wasn't bad. I think the dating apps get quite a bad rap, and I understand why. But I think there's also quite a euphoric feeling the first time as a single person that you log on and just see the sheer number of people who are all theoretically seeking connection and maybe interested in you. And it can feel like a real, a whole new world and quite exciting. Obviously, then you meet the people and you're like, well, it was nice in theory. But yeah, I think the first sense was that I got logging onto those apps was one of like enormous plenty, really.
Which is nice.
Yeah, it was fun for a while.
Yeah. So you were divorced at the age of 29, but there were no children involved, which is a good thing, isn't it?
Yes.
there was a cat. Who got custody of the cat?
He did.
Right, okay. And was that hard fought or?
No. It was pretty straightforward.
There's one thing in the book that you took directly from your own experience, and that was that the delivery man had your husband's number. Is that it?
Yeah, I guess our delivery account had been linked to his phone as well. Or maybe his was the primary phone. And I found out like a month into the breakup that he'd been getting a phone call every time I ordered late night food for delivery, which at that period was often.
Right. And I suppose you were really upset that he was been woken up in the middle of the night by your delivery man.
I think people ask me a lot for divorce advice, and my big one is just unlink your accounts. They don't need to know what you're buying on Amazon or when you are or are not having a burger delivered.
And is there that thing where you try very well? Look, most people listening have broken up with somebody at some stage in their lives, and that the aftermath, and then trying to impress upon your ex that you're living your best life. And that you're getting on nicely without them. Thank you very much. was that a part of your life?
I think that's sort of part of everyone's life now because of social media. We almost have that pressure, no matter what is going on, to present this idealized version of our lives where we look good and we feel good and we're doing exciting things with interesting people. I think that pressure is like compounding year on year. The more access we have to each other and the more kind of slightly mediated online spaces we have to kind of display ourselves to each other.
I'm fascinated by your career path. You know, you're a comedy writer, both for TV and obviously books as well. And is that something that you, at the age of 10, when asked by a maiden aunt what you want to be when you grow up, you say, I want to be a comedy writer. Is that it?
I wanted to be a creative person. I think I always liked writing, and I was really into acting in my childhood as well. I used to like write plays for my sisters and I, that kind of thing. So it was always like a passion of mine from a young age. But I think it wasn't clear to me that it was actually a job that a person could have until I moved to London to do graduate school for what I thought would be my career path in academia. And then I got here and met so many different people who were kind of bravely striking out to try and actually make a creative life for themselves that would work. And I did the same.
Right. And then you went back and you worked on Schitt's Creek, which I've recommended it here to people. Now, some people didn't quite like it. That's fair enough. But I think the majority of people welcomed the recommendation. And it got a lot of people through lockdown, I think. Those lovely 20-minute bite-size slices of comedy were just what the doctor ordered. did you realise you came in season which?
I was season 3 and 4.
Right. But it wasn't the global phenomenon that it turned out to be then.
No, nowhere close. It was this little independent Canadian show that had, you know, like quite a solid fan base within Canada, but I don't think it was maybe on Netflix already, but hadn't quite picked up steam. By season 4, people had started to know what it was when I told them where I was working, like in a wider sense. But it definitely was, there was like this exciting sense of momentum that only was starting kind of in 4.
And of course, it's a family affair, isn't it? Eugene and Dan are co-writers. It was Dan's vision, and Twyla is played by the daughter. They were very much hands-on, were they, Monica?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Dan was the showrunner, so it was really his baby, and he knew exactly what he wanted from the very beginning and always had such a clear vision for the show. And I think it was so fun to see him working with his dad. I mean, Eugene is like a comedy hero of mine. He's like I think if you work in Canadian comedy or even comedy just in general, you know, Eugene's just like somebody who I've always looked up to. So it was a real pleasure to get to work with him.
What is the Canadian sense of humor, if you were to describe it?
I think it shares some similarities and overlaps with the English and maybe even Irish, maybe not quite as dark as the Irish sense of humor from what I know of that. But I think there's a kind of self-deprecation and not taking things too seriously that's important to the Canadian sense of humour. It's a little bit less brash and in your face than the American sense of humour, I would say.
Well, Irish comedy and the Irish sense of humour is having its day in the sun. At the BAFTAs over the weekend, Derry Girls and Bad Sisters both won awards.
Big year for Irish films at the Oscars.
Yes,
as well.
Yeah. Banshees Inisherin and on Colin Kuhn. So, we're riding the wave of creativity here, which is great. We're punching above our weight. What's the population of Canada?
Oh, God. I didn't realize there would be geography questions. When I left, in 2010, I think the population was like 30 million.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So but it's spread out across an absolutely enormous amount of space. So, it feels much smaller.
So, you're 6 times the size of Ireland when it comes to population. So you're on strike at the moment because you're a writer and the WGA are on strike.
That's right.
And AI is in the news again this week in this country because of a newspaper who received an opinion piece which they thought was real and it turned out to be written by AI. And one of the gripes of the writers in America is that they can see the future and it's not a pretty place with AI looming.
Yeah.
So what are they asking for?
One of the requests that the WGA was making in their negotiations was that they wanted to put into the contract agreement between the studios and the writers that AI could not be used to edit or do changes to the scripts that we were writing, and also that the scripts that we were writing could not be used to teach AI in the future. That neither of those proposals were approved, and that's one of several reasons
that's impossible to police.
I suppose so.
Well, you see, AI scraped the internet. So once you put a script for a show up on the internet, it's available to ChatGPT. And you just can't police that the way things stand at the moment.
I think we're just looking to have rules on the books so that we can then point to those rules when they are inevitably
when they're broken. When they're broken, yeah. if you can find out that they were broken.
Yeah.
I read a piece you wrote for the Daily Mail about buying jeans, which I found very funny.
Thanks.
So you've top-only shops.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the pandemic was interesting because nobody was shopping in the high street anymore. And then I went back post-pandemic and forgot about the experience of, like, you go into a store and you're wearing like 6 different sizes within the same store, or you get a pair of trousers that are like a large and that's for some reason much too small, but the medium fits. Like, these clothes are being made under conditions and in such a quantity that they're kind of for no one now. They just sort of look like trousers.
Right.
But they're not for human legs. and so there, yeah, there are definitely places where I'll have a less stressful time I'm like tops only.
So somebody shared advice with you. Mm. And what they do is they go into a shop, they like the fabric of a pair of jeans, they buy the biggest size, and then they get them tailored to fit themselves.
Yep. Right. Yeah, you're effectively making your own
jeans.
Trousers.
Yes.
Out of you're using it like a fabric store.
Right. Okay. Have you tried that?
Yeah, I have. I do that with vintage clothing because the quality is a little bit better. You can get like a men's jean and then have it kind of turned into a woman's jean. But it's a lot of faff.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just to have some jeans on your legs.
I know, but they'll fit. They'll fit.
They do. They fit great.
Yeah.
I love my tailor.
And you like the feel of them as well because you've chosen the fabric. They're all good. Yeah. So you are, there's Irish connections because you've optioned really good, actually. And you're saying that if it was made into a movie or a TV program, that you would like who to play you or Maggie, indeed, who isn't you.
I mean, I have named a couple actresses over the years, but I love and I'm a huge fan of Nicola Coughlan. Uh-huh. You know, she would be really high at the top of my list if she would read for it, or I don't know. I think she's probably offer only in quite a major way, so, and her schedule is probably enormously full.
Yeah, but she might be attracted to the script.
I would hope so. It's always scary to say that you want an actor to play something in your show because you don't want to be presumptuous. You know, they have like millions of offers.
Yeah, but. And Smothered stars Aisling Bea, our Aisling Bea.
Yes, that's right.
And you worked on that and that's coming to Sky. So,
yes.
Yeah, so.
Aisling's amazing. She was such a pleasure to work with.
Yeah, a real talent. And you were coming yourself to take part in the International Literary Festival in Dublin, and it's ilfdublin.com. And you're in conversation with Sophie White.
That's right.
Yes,
I'm so excited.
This Saturday. Lovely talking to you, Monica.
So nice to talk to you too.
Enjoy your time in Dublin, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
News just in there that Prince Harry and Meghan were involved in a near catastrophic car chase yesterday. And it's just hitting the news now. A relentless pursuit lasting over 2 hours resulted in multiple near collisions involving other drivers on the road, pedestrians and two NYPD officers, the spokesperson has said. The chase happened after Meghan and Harry had attended an awards ceremony in New York on Tuesday night, their first public appearance since the King's coronation. The Duchess of Sussex received a Woman of Vision Award at the ceremony in New York as she encouraged women to fight for equality as she accepted the award at the Ms. Foundation of Women's, MS Foundation, Ms. Foundation of Women's annual gala. And that's history repeating itself. Near catastrophic, which is not catastrophic, which is great. But God, do people ever learn? Do people ever learn? Okay, on AI, somebody says, as regards AI, the genie's out of the bottle. As the inventor of the atomic bomb, Robert Oppenheimer, said, I've become the destroyer of worlds. And then there's loads of suggestions for goats, as in names for goats. Artie, Millie, Twiggy, Susie, Elton, Donna, Derry, Mossy, Yola. John. Oh, no, that's John who sent them in. Not a name for a goat. We are a family of six, four boys. Cormac, Dunica, Sean and Cahill, good Irish names, are lucky enough to visit Howth every year through relations. That's Donald from Cork. Two unusual Irish names for the kids on Howth Head. Sloina rhymes with Onya. Yes, this was Brian Boru's youngest daughter's name. And Dehin, D-E-I-T-H-I-N, which was St. Declan's mother's name. Take care, that's Siobhan. Kelly and County Clare, thanks for those. They're a good name. Sláinte and Dehin. And Sinead should be up on Howth Hill now. Hello, Sinead.
Hello, Ray from Howth Hill. I'm here with the goat herder, Melissa, and some friends as well. I don't know if you can hear them in the background.
I can, yeah.
I have Ulton near me and Ulton's mother Ursula as well.
That's a lovely sound.
What a lovely sound.
Yeah,
so if innocent.
If you don't mind, Sinead, we just listen to the goats. Is that okay?
Well, thanks a lot. This is
like the Dawn Chorus, but for goats.
Yeah, yeah. Dan, the
question
man.
Is, what are they saying?
Yes. Hello, Melissa. How are you? Hello.
Hi, Ray. How are you? Yeah.
Dan, the man in Duncannon, was on Sinead and Melissa, and he says, Ray, I wanted to be a goat ever since I was a kid. But I'm, hey, but I'm, there you go. I said, yay. Yes. Okay. So you're there with Melissa, obviously. And we've spoken to Melissa before. Just Sinead, you're there for the first time. Melissa sort of works there. So how do you feel up there looking out and with all the goats and all that?
I feel so safe. I'm up here with Melissa, and I've been watching her for the past few minutes, and she seems so in charge. She knows exactly what she's doing, and I can see that there's a bond between her and the animals as well. They respect each other and they follow her wherever she goes and whatever she asks them to do. So far, so good. Hopefully that won't go downhill now, as I'm up here on Hoth Head. Looking out, the view is incredible as well. I can see the chimney stacks right in front of me. I'll send you a photo in a few minutes' time.
Do that. And the sky's still blue, is it? Or is it a cloud over?
It's not as blue as it was earlier, but it's still blue.
Okay. And Melissa is the goat herder on Hoth Hill. Hello, Melissa, again. We spoke to you, I think, last year when you were celebrating 1 year in the job. Remind us about yourself. So you're originally from the Netherlands, is it?
Originally from the Netherlands. Moved to County Clare with my family when we were very young, and grew up there since 2000. And that's where I would have been exposed to the goats out in the burn and learnt my skills of the trade, and somehow I landed a dream job in Dublin herding goats here in Hoth Head.
Yeah. And you had your own goat at the age of 10. He's trying to get in there. Look, yeah. He's that guy has a future in broadcasting. Yeah, I know. I can hear you. Yeah, go on, Melissa. Sorry.
He wants his own mic. So I started with my own goats at about 10 years of age, and kind of worked my way up, I suppose.
Yeah. And just remind us the job they do on Hoth Hill.
Yes. So Hoth Head has been kind of plagued by wildfires the last few decades. They've become more and more prominent. Here, the farming practices kind of ceased and kind of stopped taking place from the 1950s on. So there's been a build-up of mainly gorse, bracken, briars, and just a general build-up of biomass. So gorse is a flammable plant. It carries natural oils, and it's kind of encroached and taken over the last couple of decades. So the goats are coming in to graze out strategic fire breaks that Fingal County Council have created. So they are managing... they're part of the management plan for the fire break, the wildfire management here. So through the grazing actions, they reduce the biomass. It's a very natural means. There's no machinery or chemicals required. And as such, if a fire were to break out, it would burn into itself. With the fire breaks, it would stop the fire. It would give the fire brigade access, easy access to sites to put out a fire. And in return, it safeguards that habitat and the homes that are very close by here as well.
And these are old Irish goats, a specific type of goat. Where did they come from before they ended up in Hoth?
Yes, so these ladies came from Mulranny in Mayo. So they're the old Irish goat. They're a native breed. They're the perfect grazer or browser, as they call it. They're a low maintenance, very hardy, resilient animal. They thrive on poor quality forage, and they can sustain themselves very well on this type of habitat. This is where they want to be. So these guys are thriving here, as you can see, with the birth of all the kids as well. And they're while doing a job that's safeguarding and protecting this space. So these guys, as our native rare breed, are being given a utility, and they're excelling at that utility.
And how many kids would a nanny goat have?
As a primitive breed, they generally have one.
Just one, right.
Because the chances of survival of one are higher than two, I suppose. We did have eight sets of twins in the herd this year. Again, a sign that they really are thriving here in Hoth. They've been here for just over a year and a half, so they're well settled into the habitat, and the forage is doing them very well.
And I know lambs gamble through the field, that little skipping thing they do and jumping. Is there a similar word for the actions of kid goats?
they're just kidding around, really.
Just kidding around, right? On the rocks. Fair enough. So 37, that's an amazing number. And Fingal County Council are looking for names for them. The five left, we've got some great suggestions in there today from the people that Sinead, you met with your microphone and then text as well. So loads of great suggestions. And if you want to enter, I think it's midnight tonight that they're going to close the entry process. And that's...
It's 5 p.m. today, actually.
5 p.m. today. Sorry. Now, yeah. You've just an hour and 4 minutes.
An hour and four minutes.
Left. Yes, yeah, yeah. So yeah. It is the dream job, Melissa, is it? You just love going into work.
Yes. I'm just up on the hill.
Yeah.
With my gang. The days are long, but they're very rewarding. And it is an absolute dream job.
Do you yodel?
I do all the time, yeah, but right. Just in goat language.
Right, okay. we have Cleona Hagen on the line. How are you doing, Cleona?
I'm very well, Ray. How are you?
Good. You have a song called Cowboy Yodel.
I do indeed, yes. I love to do a bit of yodeling from now and again.
Right, okay. Now, the goats, they're very rude goats. Yes, I know. Yes.
I love it.
What they're actually saying is don't do that cliched yodeling thing just because there's a goat herder and a couple of goats on the side of a hill. Don't be doing that. Yeah, you see, there.
We would never dream of that.
So you're going to talk us through. Sinead's there, Cleona, and so is Melissa. Melissa is the goat herder up in Hoth Head. So how does one go about yodeling?
You know what? It's basically from your head voice to your falsetto voice, which is basically the higher register in your voice. So okay. You use some vowel sounds. So Adelaide, kind of break into that higher register. If the girls want to try it and yourselves, Ray, go for it.
Give us it again there.
Adelaide. Oh, yeah.
Adelaide.
Okay, Ray, I think the girls won that one.
Yeah, I
I can hear it in my head.
This is a great cacophony of bad yodeling and goat noises. I should have established this, Cleona, before we started. Do you need to be able to sing to be able to yodel?
You know, sometimes that does help, right?
Yes, yeah. Well, I can sing, so I'll excuse myself from the next. So if you could just yodel us out, the three there, Cleona and Sinead and Melissa, and thanks to you all. Give us a yodel there. Yodel us out.
An RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
It's great to get a bit of nature into the studio. That was good fun. Imelda in Slane has a lovely idea. She says, what about naming one of the goats Gabo after the late great Uncle Gabo, who I suppose was one of Hoth's most famous sons. That's a lovely idea, Imelda. Hopefully somebody will do that. The closing time for entries or for suggestions for the names for the little kid goats is 5 o'clock, and it's the Fingal County Council website. Anish Dosha now in the Preevskelton and Oakdale and Maura de Wallace. Gurma good Maura, thank you very much. 5 on 5, 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Ray and Alison will be with us in about 15 minutes time. There are relationship counsellors, and if you have any questions for them, ray@rte.ie. But right now we have to meet our two quizzers on our Who Done It quiz. One of them will walk away with a prize, and it's two nights B&B for two adults and two children in a lodge at Photo Island Resort. Nestled at the heart of a peaceful island surrounded by gorgeous scenery and just 8 miles from Cork City, pack your bags and escape to your own private island this summer with Photo Island Resort. Loads of things to do down there. They have exclusive 2, 3 and 4 bedroom self-catering lodges, perfect for families, groups of friends or fellow golfers. PhotoIsland.ie. PhotoIsland.ie. Catherine Halton. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Is that the correct pronunciation of your surname?
Not quite. Halpin. No.
Halpin. Aha.
Halpin, yeah.
Yes. Well, no, there were Halpins in Kildare. I know the name Halpin, yeah. And you're in City West.
We are, yeah.
Yeah, and two children.
Two little ones, yeah. 5 and 2. Boy and a girl.
Right. Hands full there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Keep me on my toes, all right.
Yeah. And you're studying as well.
Trying to.
What are you studying for?
accounting. So exams start next week. So, all kind of done in the evenings after bedtime this week. So it's a bit of a juggling act.
So is that part of a job or is it a change of career or what is it?
Change. So I've been at home with since I had the little fella. So I'm trying to change my path and go back to doing something when I get back to work.
Yeah, yeah. Scary enough, I'd say.
It's a bit of a minefield, all right, especially trying to work it around the kids. But it's good to keep the mind going, I suppose.
And of course, they won't need you forever, you know. There will be a time in the future, and it happens very quickly, doesn't it, that they'll be independent and you'll be sitting at home twiddling your thumbs, but you're not going to be doing that. You're doing the exams, which is great. Dinner plans. I see pizza for the children.
Dinner is done. Yeah, we had an early dinner today because the hubby's only comes in after 3 from work, so we kind of get them fed and watered and then...
All right.
The tiredness in the evenings, you know.
So it's dinner in the middle of the day. Like the old school way. That's a real old school way of dinner, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
You're up against Regina Nugent, who's in Tullamore in County Offaly. Hello, Regina.
Hi, Ray. How's things?
Good. Are you in Tullamore or are you in Gaeshill?
Well, it's a long story, Ray. I'm in Tullamore, but I'm not. I'm in Ballinasloe at the minute.
Okay. And you're from Gaeshill?
I'm from Gaeshill.
Right. And what are you doing in Ballinasloe?
I'm sitting in the car soaking up the sunshine.
Right. Okay. And that's as much as we're getting, is it?
Yeah, no. I'm with my partner. He's working in Ballinasloe, so okay. I'm just going for the drive.
Right. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. And you have 4 children?
I do. I have four kids. Megan's 18, Noah's 16, Isabel is 10, and Alison is 9.
Right. That's a busy house, yeah. And is there leaving certs and junior certs this year or not?
No, communion on Saturday.
Right, okay. Well, that's good because the junior cert and the leaving cert, they can be quite stressful. And it's coming up to that time of the year now. And you've no plans for the dinner, I see here.
No, not yet. See what time I get home at and we'll work it from there.
Yeah, whatever. Right. Okay, you know the deal. 3 questions. I'll give you the category and then you decide if you want a clue or not. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue, it's more difficult. So you get 2 points for a correct answer. Whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And if it's a draw in points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both. Here we go. So, to you, Catherine Halpin. Music is the first category. Would you like a clue or not?
I'll go no clue.
No clue. For 2, who is singing this? Here you come again. Looking better than a body has a right to. And shaking me up so that all I really know is
I'm going to go with anything. Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton it is. Well done. Yes, it is Dolly Parton. Yes, you get 2 points for that. Well done. Now, Regina, it's music for you too. No clue. Okay. So, for 2 points, who is singing this? You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
Know when to walk away. Is it Kenny Rogers?
It is Kenny Rogers, yes. Well done, 2 points there. We know our country and western music. Country music, don't call it country western, just country music. 2 points for that. Thank you very much, Kenny. Now, 2nd category, Catherine, Irish women in sport. Or it's actually women in sport, because not both of them are Irish, sorry. Just women in sport. So what do you want to do? Do you want a clue or not?
I'll go with a clue.
You go to clue. Okay. So listen carefully to this clue. This Clontarf swimmer is not just a European champion and Paralympic gold bronze medalist at the Tokyo Olympics. She can also dance. Have a listen to this and see if you know who this is for 1 point.
Over the years, I've been called an Olympian and I know it's not just from my friends or family, it's from the media or the general public. And I know when they call me an Olympian, it's because they recognise the hard work that I do, they recognise the commitment and the elite level of the sport. But it's almost like they're afraid to say Paralympian because they're afraid to acknowledge that I have a disability.
Well, who's that?
I know the girl, I can't take her name. Beverly something, is it?
No, it's Ellen. No. Ellen Keane. Ellen Keane. Okay,
that's the one.
Right. Okay. You're not out of it yet, Regina. Women in sport. Do you want a clue or not?
Clue, please, Ray.
Okay. Here's your clue. This Republic of Ireland manager is headed down under. For 1 point, who is this?
We said to each other, we are going to the World Cup. We did it. We did it. We said 2 years ago when we lost qualifying for the European Championship in Ukraine. We were all over them. We were by far the better team. But somehow we needed that defeat to be able to qualify now.
Who's that?
I know it's yes. The manager for a football team, yes. Or the soccer team, but I don't know her
name.
Know
her name. Right, Vera Pauw. And they're heading off to the World Cup in Australia very shortly. Okay, so it's still two all. Final category, soap stars. Soap stars, Catherine. What do you want?
No clue.
Okay, so it's the actor's name we're looking for. For 2 points, who is this?
Oh yeah, and what's going to happen to the boy if he lives with you? You and your new wife, you're going to provide him with a family home. And does that include her having an affair with him as soon as he's old enough? Because that's what she's up to with Mark, wasn't it? You've got Adam lined up for her too. So she is nearer to his age than yours.
Sorry, it's the character's name. Character's name. I'll give
the
you...
character's name?
Yes.
Ken Barlow.
Ken Barlow's correct. Yes, 2 points for that. It's the character's name we're looking for. Well done, you're on four. You can't do any more. Regina, soap stars.
No clue.
The character's name we're looking for. If you get this right, we're into a tiebreak situation. If you don't, Catherine is today's winner. Good luck with this. For 2 points, who is this?
Now, I've got a lot of questions. So let's start with this, shall we? What are you doing dropping Dennis's jacket off to be cleaned? Because a couple of weeks ago, he was fine. Now he can't even get on a tube. So who knows why, eh? There's something going on here.
Who's that?
It's not Mick from EastEnders, is it?
No.
It is an EastEnders character. It's Phil Mitchell.
Oh, it's Phil Mitchell.
Phil Mitchell. Sorry about that, Regina. Listen,
you're fine.
We're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Keep Cup. You can give it to the fiancé, Seamus, to put in his van or his truck or whatever. And it'll be a constant reminder of you when he's out on the road. Okay, Regina, well done.
Thanks,
thank you very much.
Well,
see
well
you now.
Done,
bye. Catherine, congratulations.
Fantastic.
Yes, fantastic.
So
right. And it's perfect because you have two children and it's for two adults and two children. It's a two-night stay in a luxury five-star lodge down in Fota Island Resort.
And you go to
fotaisland.ie to see what's in store for you. Well done, Catherine. Lovely talking to you.
Thank
bye
you
now.
So much,
see you.
Ray.
Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Still coming in there, Noreen says, Kiki and Coco for the goat's names. Kindest regards, Noreen. Thank you very much. We have to, don't we? We do. After all that, man, and all that, we have to play this in its entirety, yes. The Lonely Goatherd. All together now, Ray and Alison. High on a hill is a lonely goat herd. We're joined in studio by Ray O'Neill and Alison Keating. They're our relationship counsellors. And good to see you again.
Good to see you, Ray.
Yeah. Fans of Sound of Music, Alison?
Oh, yes.
Yes, Ray?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you do at Christmas?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so, dear Ray and Alison, can you please ask advice from Ray and Alison? How can you best support my spouse who has ADHD while keeping your own sanity and space for your own self-care? Many thanks. Short, to the point. Ray.
Yeah, look, I think that in terms of, I would direct you actually towards the internet, towards Facebook, towards support groups and online spaces, and to talk with your partner about reaching out for that support. Because sometimes when a partner has an issue, or they don't realise the impact it's having on you because they're so caught up in the impact it's having on them, that when they see you looking for support, there's some sense of solidarity, but also a sense of awareness that, oh, OK, this is impacting on you as well.
Okay, Alison.
There's a great couple that I follow,
and it's ADHD underscore love. I'll put it up on my page on the Practical Psychology on Instagram. He's neurotypical, she has ADHD, and they explain so many normal everyday scenarios as why it takes her so long to get ready, her time blindness. There's so many really good practical things, and you see it from her perspective, you see it from his perspective. I think it really helps, and like Ray, also get the group support as well. Mm.
Who did I interview recently who had ADHD? Paris Hilton has ADHD. And it explained, she in her book, it's actually a really well-written book. And anybody who's trying to understand ADHD, they might read her book, because it's all that. There's no concept of time.
No.
Always late. Yeah. Always a little bit messy. You know, panic, last-minute stuff. And that's all. They're all symptoms of ADHD. Mm. Yeah.
And like the hyper-focus of, you know, being really interested in something and another project, not actually finishing anything. And how difficult it is in a relationship. So that one is a great example. That couple, they're really good. And he does it from a real place of love as well.
Yes,
this is really wrecking our relationship. It just shows the investment he puts in to understand. And then in terms of how they support themselves, I would think that you take time for yourself as well, and actually kind of stuff within your body, so kind of somatic based stuff, whereby you kind of intentionally go out in nature, you know, take small breaks every day and actually put boundaries in and say, look, I need to take a break for like 20 minutes and then come back to it. I think that would actually help.
Okay.
And I think when one spouse has a diagnosis of any kind or has an issue or a problem, sometimes you can feel guilty as the spouse, because obviously they've got a question, an issue, and it's just, there's nothing for you to feel guilty around. It's great that you've reached out for support. Please go on ahead.
Yeah, yeah. This is a very positive thing.
Absolutely.
Very positive thing. Okay. Now, dear Ray and Alison, if you have a husband who is addicted to porn and wants his wife to behave like the porn star he is watching, which she doesn't want to, is this abnormal and how should she handle it? She had already tried to speak to her husband and say she is not interested, and she's then called nasty names for not cooperating. Wow, there's a lot going on here. This is written in the third person. We can't assume it's the person writing it who's involved in this relationship. But anyway, the advice will be heard.
So, this person sounds really fed up. I'm wondering how they've talked about this. How has this conversation been broached? Is it just in argument? At what point, you know, does it say, you know, is it in the bedroom that these conversations are having, that he's saying, can we try this, or she's saying, can we try that? And then, you know, nothing's happening or upset is happening. So I'm wondering when these conversations are happening, and if they're happening in the bedroom, to have them during the day, and there's a lot to sort through. Myself and Ray were talking, and he has different ideas on it, so we'll share our differing ideas on it.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
That's a good time
to have your opinion. I guess it'd be Alison says, like, there's a lot going on behind here. And I think what's probably happened is there's two people trapped in a sense of shame and not knowing how to do sexuality. If in any way this person has overtly or indirectly said to their husband, you're addicted to porn, that's going to get a huge reaction against it.
Okay, can I just stop you there for a second and just say to people, and they probably know already, that what we're going to be talking about in the next few minutes will not be suitable for small ears. So continue, Ray. Thank you.
So just to be mindful, a lot of people, men especially, have access to pornography. Pornography has absolutely saturated our culture. You can't do a Google search without getting a porn option of it. And yet there's no conversations that we're having as a society to catch up with what the internet has provided. So for this man, rightly or wrongly, what he has learned or seen through pornography might seem normal. And again, this may sound strange. He's trying to translate what happened on the screen into something in his relationship. He's probably gone about it very clumsily, very inappropriately, and obviously very hurtfully. But the two people need to take a step back and just kind of, how do we talk about sex that's about us and not about a reenactment of what's been seen on the screen?
Yeah.
And I also think
that's very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
No, because like a lot of men are being introduced to sex through porn, and women. So their sex education, if you like, is from porn, which doesn't reflect real life in the slightest. So when they get into a real relationship and, you know, sex becomes a thing, they just try and reenact it. So it's a big ask then to get them to relearn everything.
It's
and it's a big ask for the other person involved to ask them to do that. So it's a big problem, isn't it, in society that we have?
A huge problem. That's where having these conversations, not just amongst teenagers, but amongst 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 60-somethings, we need to have another set of conversations away from pornography. Otherwise, pornography has a monopoly.
Right. So what are those conversations then?
Amongst friends, amongst groups, in television, in soap operas, in the Late Late Show, whatever it might be, here ourselves having a conversation. Yeah. We have to do something to counterbalance the dominance and the monopoly that pornography has around what is normal around sex.
The only thing I'd worry about is that in their relationship, he's calling her nasty names because she's not cooperating.
Mm.
So bringing it back to them, how is that going to actually stop? How is she going to put a boundary in place for that he can't actually be nasty towards her?
Yes. Yeah.
Just because she's not going along with what he actually, you know, and again, yes, it's the conversation, but...
But it's a very difficult conversation for her to have. You know, it's isn't it? Because this person has been trained in a certain way.
Yeah.
And when he's not getting his way, he's been nasty to her. And so I don't know what the answer is. I was watching a Katie Hannon programme recently where they had young adults on. And girls talking about choking, and that was expected of them as part of sex. This is all coming from porn.
Yeah.
And you're right, we're not. That was the first time I saw that been discussed on television.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to be discussing the new curriculum on Drive Time, I hear, so that's out. I doubt that they'll mention choking in that, will they?
But the kids will know this.
Yeah.
And that's why, again, what Alison's saying, like the name calling, like that happens when we're, you know, when we feel under threat. I think there is a more complex story. I think she is very, very understandably, you know, disgusted potentially by his porn usage, but it's so normalised to him and amongst his peer group and gender group. So there's two people that are coming at very different places and they are not alone. I don't know any couple in Ireland that isn't trying to negotiate where pornography is for them as individuals or for them in their relationship.
How do you deal with it in your work, Alison, when a couple come in and one person is watching what the other person considers to be too much porn?
Like what Ray is saying, for one couple, it'll be fine and there actually won't be a problem and actually they might engage in it together. The problem and the issue is when, perhaps more like this situation, is when one person is, you know, watching porn and the other person is really against it, and it creates a huge kind of value difference in their relationship that it can be a deal breaker for people. So it's down to each individual couple and what actually works for you both, and going through some level of, well, what is arousal for us? What is desire for us? You know, how can we come about this together in a kind of a mutually satisfying way to talk about, you know, sexual experiences that were good for you or ones that were bad? These are the conversations that need to be had together as a couple to kind of bring a sense of intimacy and connection.
But if a man has only ever got aroused watching porn and then he's in a real life situation, That creates problems, doesn't it? Because these real life situations don't match what he's seen on porn.
Yeah.
And that's going to affect his performance. I don't know.
Absolutely, because one of the things with pornography is it's fairly exclusively visual.
Mm.
And sex is a multisensory activity. So there should be five senses engaged, not least of all the kinesthetic experience of touch. That's where the power of sexuality happens. But pornography's very cleverly moved it all into the visual. And so we're all caught up in how our bodies look during sex rather than in what I feel during sex or what you feel during sex. And so we have to create another set of conversations.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Mm. Yes. Yeah. We have to talk about it. Of course, men are more likely to be visually stimulated than women. They because we are different when it comes to sex and how we are aroused, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something we will come back to. Where are we at now? Let's see where we get to this one. Yeah, I've been friends with this guy for years. He has always... We didn't say... What does this woman need to do? Sorry, the woman with...
Again, try and talk to your husband, and to the best of your abilities, put your judgment aside so that he can hopefully put his judgment aside. I get that you're hurt, and I absolutely get that you're rightly angry, but he's also ashamed. It's so difficult to have conversations around sex because we're all ashamed to talk about it.
Right. I've been friends with this guy for years. He has always been in a relationship since I've known him, but recently broke up with his girlfriend of 3 years. He was always complaining about how unhappy he was when he was with her, and said on a couple of occasions that he would rather be with someone that he was comfortable with, like me. At the time, I paid no heed to it. I'm happily single after a breakup last year, and I've enjoyed giving myself all my own energy rather than putting it into someone else. But lately, I've started to feel differently. I've started to notice how attractive he is. I don't know why I didn't before. He was always just my mate since college. I hit 35 last month, so maybe the idea of settling down with someone is more appealing or something. We've never come close to being together before, not even a drunken kiss, when we would have had many the opportunity. We get on so well and think we would be really compatible in a relationship, but I don't know how to broach the subject. I'm worried I will make a total fool of myself and potentially ruin a very important friendship with someone I care for very deeply. But then I don't want to deny myself the chance of being with them romantically. He never stays single for long, so I don't want to waste too much time. So I'd appreciate any advice you could give on this one. Go and write a book and make it into a movie. No, sorry. So what's the advice, Alison?
I hear a race against time.
Mm.
So, you know, ages can create milestones for people. And I think turning 35 has been a big point for her. But even just using the word, you know, that I should settle down. Why? You know, I'd get her to question, well, why does she want to settle down, or does she? Or does she feel she should because of her age? What's her thinking around it? Is she thinking about children? And also then it's a little disconcerting that she feels there's a race, that he's going to be with someone quickly, which perhaps waves a little red flag that he's not able to be on his own. I'm interested that they, you know, they had many of the opportunities. So was there any kind of attraction there? How does she know that? Yeah. They didn't act on it. I like that she says, basically, when he was in the relationship, she didn't feel like she kind of closed off the option in her head, and potentially that option is there now. She needs time to really think about what she actually wants first, but not feeling against the clock on whether he'll find someone quickly or not.
20 seconds.
Yeah, the one that got away, usually let them get away. If you haven't got it together, both of you, and especially you, need to ask yourself why, unless you want to write the rom-com script and prove us all wrong.
I like your face, Ray. I'm not saying it can't work out, just some thought.
And he might be writing to some other radio show saying exactly the same thing.
Oh, now we've got the rom-com perfectly.
Well, look, whatever you do, I hope hopefully it works out. Ray, thanks so much.
Cheers.
Alison, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Sarah and Cormac are on the way on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.